All right. Welcome, everyone, to our monthly Q&A for The Little Black Business Book. It is Wednesday, January 13th. So I know we have a lot of newcomers this month. So welcome all if this is your first time. Basically, the way that it works is this is just a Q&A. You get to ask me whatever you want. It can be pretty much about anything. We don't necessarily have a theme or anything like that. So anything you need feedback on, any questions you have, do you want to bounce an idea off of me, anything like that is welcome here. And all you have to do is press *2, and that will raise your hand. And I usually just go in order of the people that raise their hands. So *2 will raise your hand. You can go ahead and do that if you have a question. Or if you are on the webcast or you are calling, or yeah, if you're using the webcast, there is a Q&A box, so you can also ask questions that way. So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the lines first, and then I'll answer the couple of Q&A calls that we have here. All right, so first person is, I believe this is Raina. Is that how you say your name?
Hi, Jen.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, good, good. Glad you can hear me. It's actually pronounced Rana.
Rana, okay. Hey, how are you?
Yeah, thanks.
Good.
I'm well, thank you very much. Just had the CCC call today. Totally
psyched. So you're fired up.
Oh my gosh, am I fired up. So, but you know, I know there are other people waiting, so I'll get right to my question instead of like continuing to worship you guys. You know, I am one of those people who is really struggling, or you know, I have a lot of questions about the technological aspects of an online business, and I realize and totally understand the concept of getting a VA eventually to do a lot of the work for me. But in the meantime, I think it would behoove me to be aware of, you know, certain apps and programs that, I mean, I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but I don't know some of the basics even. Like one of the things you brought up in one of in your ACE challenge on one of the days was like WordSwag and Canva. And so I was wondering if you could give us an idea of what apps that, you know, we should be aware of at the very least, and what your go-to resource is to learn about those apps, because I don't even know what's out there. So if I don't know what's out there, I don't even know all the possibilities and you know, awesome stuff. So don't know what I don't know. What would you say to that?
All right, cool. So, yeah, I definitely have certain apps that, like, I swear by, and I can tell you about those. But, you know, it's all subjective because there's so many different ones. I mean, there's hundreds, there's thousands of different apps. So different people use different things, and it's going to be a preference. So like I mentioned in the ACE challenge, WordSwag really is just, it's literally an app on your phone where you can just create picture quotes. So I'm sure you see people that are making picture quotes all over the place. That's how they create them.
Yeah.
Or Canva. So Canva is... be careful because you could get addicted to Canva because it's very easy to – you can create anything on Canva. So Canva I use to create, like, my webinar presentations. I use it to create worksheets and workbooks that I have for my courses. I use it to create images that I have for you know, like if I just want to put an image on Facebook or on Instagram. And basically what that does is it just has a bunch of templates for you. So it has the correct size. It'll have a size for, you know, Facebook group, Facebook page, Facebook ad. Like, so it already has these templates. And then you can kind of go in and just change the colors to match your brand colors, you know, things like that. So that's pretty basic stuff. Other things that I feel like you will need is Lead Pages or something similar. So I swear by Lead Pages. I love Lead Pages. And essentially what Lead Pages does is it creates a landing page or something that you want people to opt in. And a lot of people just use their website if they want people to opt in or if they have a freebie or something. But the reason why the landing page works is because essentially if somebody lands on the page, there's nothing else to distract them. if they landed on your website, you know, there would be all your social media icons. Maybe they could click on a blog. Maybe they could click on your menu. Maybe they could work with you or hit contact. And there's just too many distractions. So with a landing page, just makes it very easy for somebody to land on your page and decide if they want whatever it is that you're giving away for free, whether it's a webinar challenge, an opt-in, something like that. So lead pages, definitely one of my top ones. I don't know what you use for Gmail, but I actually just sent out an email the other day where I used the inbox pause. I think a couple of people were having problems with it, but for me, I feel like the best thing for you starting out, because there's so much, is to reduce the distractions as much as possible, because you're going to have a lot of work to do. You know, and you really want to stay focused. So, you know, not checking your email all day long, not checking your Facebook all day long. So, you know, there are certain apps that can help you with that. For example, I don't know if you have a Mac, but Mac also has a self-control app. So you can download that if you find yourself just being on Facebook and, you know, not being productive on Facebook, but actually just scrolling through the feed and, you know, stuff like that. You just want to limit your time so that you can really focus. Let me see. What else do I use? I pay for a lot of stuff monthly, so you would think that I know what these things are. I use Instant Teleseminar for my conference calls, so what you're on right now. This is really helpful for if you're going to do, you know, any kind of teleclasses, because it allows me to see who's on the line. I'm able to see that you're on the line. I'm able to see your phone number. You're able to raise your hand. You're able to ask questions, and we're able to, you know, interact with each other. So I highly recommend that. I also use Zoom if I'm doing kind of like an intimate face-to-face teleconference. So that one's really good as well. I don't know if you've ever heard of that one, but that one's excellent. But, yeah, I mean, there's definitely just so many resources. So I would even ask some of your peers, you know, what are some of the things that they feel like, you know, are the top things or the things that you have to – that you definitely want to – have in your toolbox, because there's a lot of it.
Okay, but, like, just to get started for, you know, creating...
What are you trying to do?
Canva would be sufficient? Like,
if you're just trying to create images,
Yeah, images and quotes. Okay, awesome. This was very, very helpful, and I'm driving right now because I'm coming from a meeting, so I'm going to listen to it, and I'm glad I went first because I'll be taking all the notes down, making sure I got everything.
Awesome, yeah, and I just want to say something about the VA as well, since you did bring that up, and, you know, I wanted to answer your question, but I also want to just encourage you to look at it differently. For me, I didn't hire a VA until I was about – a year into my business, and looking back, it is definitely one of the things I wish I did a lot sooner. And the reason
is,
if you are trying to build a business, I was just having this conversation with a client earlier who is telling me that she wants to have like a multi-six-figure business. She still doesn't have a VA, which means she's doing all she's doing all this stuff that she just shouldn't be doing, you know, like little stuff, like uploading her stuff, her blogs, you know, loading up her Twitter feed, like just stupid stuff that you should not be doing if you're trying to build, you know, a business, a big business. There's so much to do already. The way you have to think of it is the VA's there to help you. They're going to help you take things off your plate that you don't need to be doing. And it doesn't, you know, have to cost a lot of money. Maybe you hire a VA for like 5 hours a month, 10 hours a month, however much you need. Even if you hired a VA at $40 an hour, which that's pretty high. Some of them are around 35, mine is 16. So just kind of do your research. But if you hired someone for five hours a month, and a good VA could get a lot done in that 5 hours, you're only spending $200 a month.
Did you say yours is 16 or 60?
16, yeah.
Holy crap.
So you have to look, and you also have to decide what you need, because there are certain VAs that can do certain things. Some are very techy and technical, so if you're not technical at all, you want to look for somebody who can, you know, play up on those strengths, you know, somebody who can kind of take over the tech part. If you need somebody to do, you know, copy editing, or you need somebody to make graphics for you, you want to make sure that your VA can do that. They're all, you know, they all do different things. So you just want to make sure. But just think about this. Think about how much you would charge an hour as a coach. Even if
A lot.
Like, what would you charge for an hour?
Well, right now, at least 150 an hour.
Okay, so 150 an hour. Let's say you go to do a lead page, and you've never been on lead pages before, and you have no clue what to do, and you're Googling, and you're YouTubing, and you're trying to figure it out, and it takes you 4 hours. That's $600 when you could pay someone $40 to do it for you. So you just have to do it, you know, look at that perspective. I just don't want you guys wasting your time doing stuff that somebody else can do for you.
Thank you. This was so helpful, especially when you said that I can hire a VA even to do Twitter and Facebook posts.
Yep.
My thinking was, oh, my gosh, a VA would shoot me if I had them do something so
simple. My VA helps me with all my social media. That's the bulk of what she does is with my social media. So, yeah, and the great thing about a VA, too, is, like, for the most part, most of them, you're not locked into any kind of contract. So it's not like, oh, I'm going to have to pay this person, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars every month. You can literally hire them per task or per hour, so that way you don't get locked in and you don't feel like, you know, you don't have the money for it.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Jen. Very
You're
helpful.
Very welcome. All right.
Thank
I'll talk
you.
To you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. I am going to a cell phone from Thunder Bay, Ontario. Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, who's this?
Oh, hey, this is Maddie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. My
You had a great week last week with the ACE Challenge. That was fun.
Yeah, I loved the ACE Challenge. I had tons of fun with it, and I got to learn just things like that I know I should do but don't do. So it really pushed me to actually do a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and just for anybody that's listening or anybody that has that took the ACE Challenge, you don't have to go that hard all the time every day. It was literally was just something to, like, really push you guys and have you get as much done as possible so that you could see, you know, the possibilities of how much you can actually get done when you focus.
That's exactly right. I didn't realize how productive I could be.
So what's your question?
Well, I've been wondering about this for a while, and I'm planning to launch a product shortly here, and I want to promote it via webinar because I really like the idea of webinars, and I think I'd be good on a webinar. And I'm just not sure what the best way to, like, should I spend advertising dollars on Facebook? Should I boost the post? Or I'm just wondering if you have any experience in webinars or what you felt worked best for you.
Mm-hmm. So do you have a list now?
I have a small list.
Okay. And you want to grow your list, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I would, if you do have an ads budget, even if it's a small budget, I would definitely recommend putting your webinar on an ad. You just want to make sure that you're targeting, if you're doing it yourself, make sure that your targeting is on point. That's probably the biggest mistake people make, is targeting the wrong people or the wrong interests. So just make sure that you know who your targets are. And I'm not just talking about, you know, female 25 to 35. Like, besides that, what are their interests? What other Facebook pages are they following? What other coaches are they following? What groups do they belong to? You just want to get your targeting on point if you're going to do an ad. And then for the webinar, what I would do is I would promote it 5 days before the webinar, no more than that, and maybe just put like $20 a day. That's actually kind of high. I mean, I know people that will do like $10 a day and still get a pretty good return on their webinar. So totally up to you, but if you have like an extra $100, I would do the $20 a day, 5 days before the webinar, and that will help build your list and get people on that call with you. And then, of course, you're also going to promote it to the people that are already in your tribe and following you and on your list. If you have a group, you can post it in there. If there's any groups that you belong to where promotion is allowed, you can also post it in there to try to get some more people in it.
Okay.
And are you actually going to sell on the webinar?
At the end, I'll have a pitch, yes.
Okay. And is it like a big product or something that you can
no,
just buy,
like,
or do they have to get on the phone with you?
Well, my plan is, no, they don't have to get on the phone with me. I want to get them into a really affordable something so that they can experience working with me, since it'll be like my first one. So
perfect.
yeah, I kind of want to make this one my no-brainer kind of thing.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, go for it. Definitely. The first ones usually suck. I'll just give you a warning. I don't think I've ever met somebody who has not had some sort of malfunction their first webinar. It's like the audio didn't work, the video didn't work, or cut out halfway through, or my computer crashed, or like it's always something. So just be prepared for that, but don't, you know, take it to heart. You know, don't take it personal, because like I said, I don't think I've ever talked to someone where they did their first webinar and it was, you know, perfect. So, but you know, if you feel like you're going to be able to do really well on webinars, you can make a ton of money off of webinars, and definitely use that as like your thing. For sure.
Yeah, like it seems like a really great way to grow the list too. So
yeah,
I'm glad that
list
you
building,
touched on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Great. I'm really glad that you touched on budgets too. I wasn't sure. Like, I'm getting some funding here, so I could spend hundreds of dollars on Facebook ads, but I didn't know how much was too much or how much is appropriate.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I don't
I'll
think you need to
kind of buy.
Do that right away. You know, start small. See if it works. See if people respond to your ad. If they're not responding, then why would you keep putting money into it, you know? So there is an ads training in the Little Black Business Book. I don't know if you had a chance to look at that yet, but the training comes from Adrienne Richardson, and she's actually the person who does my ads. I don't do my ads myself, and it's good. It's great for somebody who just wants to figure out how to do it themselves and get the targeting right and get the interest right and things like that. So she knows her stuff.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So anybody else, star two to raise your hand, and I'm going to just hop on to the Q&A because a bunch of people have submitted questions. So I'm going to do that while I wait for anybody else to raise their hand. Okay. So Sharique Richardson, she says, what are the best practices in forming a structured yet customizable 90-day program for female business owners? That's a great question, but my question to you back, if you're on here, is are you talking about a one-on-one program or are you talking about a group program? Because those would be two very different things. My guess is the way that you formulated this question, because you said customizable 90-day program, is a one-on-one program. So essentially, you know, for best practices, I mean, everybody does it differently. I think every one-on-one is different because your clients are going to be at different places when they come to you. So I would do, and this is how I do mine, is I basically have like themes for each month. Like there's definitely certain things that I want to have covered by the time we're done, by the time our 90 days is through. However, it is not rigid, so it's not like, you know, you come to me and, you know, we're on week one, we're doing week one, and then that's it. Next week, we're on week two, we're doing week two, that's it. It doesn't work that way because it is customizable. So you just want to really think about the results that you want your clients to get and think about how you can put that into more themes and not necessarily modules or anything like that if you're referring to a one-on-one program. If you're referring to a group program, then yes, you're going to do more of a week-by-week structured, moduled, curriculum-based thing. But my guess is here this question was towards your one-on-one program. And just don't be rigid with it. I just was having this conversation the other day. I one time had worked with a coach, and it was only for 6 weeks. It was very short, but I could tell that she was basically following a template. And we went, you know, we were on week three, but I wasn't there yet. And so it made it really confusing, and it made it really made me really feel like she wasn't paying attention to my needs. So just make sure that it is customizable if you're going to market it that way. Okay, so now I'm going to Molly, and Molly says she's interested in learning more about how to attract her tribe. Started a Facebook group, but I have no idea how to get the first 10 to 50 people to join. So if this works for today's call, would love to know how to start attracting a tribe when you have no one at the beginning. So what I would do is I would invite your friends. So I would invite your friends first. See, you know, just let them know, and don't just add them to the group, because we all know that that is not good Facebook etiquette, but send them an invitation. Tell them you're just starting this group, you want to get it ramped up. Another thing you can do is if you have a list, even if it's a small list, send an email directly to your list telling them that you've just started this group and that you want to, you want to invite them to join. One thing that I know that has worked really, really well for me and my clients for getting a lot of interaction in a group is doing a challenge. And when you do the challenge, essentially what you're doing is anybody that signs up for the challenge, you're driving them right to your Facebook group. So it's a great way to get your first few people in there and also get people in there that are engaged like right off the bat. So, I would definitely think about doing a challenge and then just encouraging everyone that signs up for the challenge to join the group in order to, like, interact with the challenge and things like that. All right. So Lee says, cold lead revivals. I want to reconnect with people I really connected with live at a networking event last year. In the last 5 months, kind of embarrassing. My weakness was bad follow-up, rather none at all. Any suggestions on follow-up email combo? Okay, so I think a lot of people do that, so don't feel guilty. There is a worksheet in the Little Black Business Book. I believe it's under the box that says, do you want more clients? And in there, it's like, I think 13 follow-up. I can't remember what I called it, but something about follow-up in that section. There are ways to just start a conversation, really. So it's not like you're going to pitch them anything or offer anything, but just really, you know, starting the conversation back up. And, you know, just be open to the fact that, you know, some people might not remember you. Some people might not respond back and be okay with that, but you may have one or two people that do. You may have one or two people that remember you. So I would definitely download that document, get some ideas from there, and just let them know. You know, be honest with them, be transparent, be open, and people really enjoy that stuff. So, alrighty. So we're going to Suzanne. Suzanne says, when you do a challenge, I'm in the middle of one, do you do a call to action at the end or promote a product or service? It's 3 days until my challenge finishes, and I'm trying to decide whether to offer a group coaching option at the end, which I haven't created yet, but I have all the content for my one-to-one coaching, so not a problem. I just haven't done group coaching before. One, is it good to do an offer at the end of the challenge? And two, do you run your group coaching in the same way you run your one-on-one in reference to the content? Okay. So this is a loaded question, but I think I can answer everything for you. So I technically would have thought about this way in advance. And for those of you who just got the newest email, I do have the funnel for a Facebook challenge and how to actually have it be more than a challenge. Have it actually be, you know, a way that you can launch or promote a service or product at the end. So totally up to you. I mean, I think it's smart if you have these people really engaged, if these people are responding to your challenge, to offer them something at the end, a small group coaching that is relevant to the challenge. So you want to just make sure that it's the same. You don't want to do, like, let's say, a Facebook challenge and then have a Twitter group program. That's just a crazy example, but, you know, you want to make sure that your program is in line with what they just did during those 5 or 7 days throughout the challenge. If you're on day 3 before your challenge finishes, I would let them know in their very next email that you are going to be announcing something. So I would definitely let them know that, either in a PS, hey, I have something coming for you tomorrow, you know, be sure to look out on your email. I wouldn't just wait until it's completely over and then throw it on them. So I would give them a little hint that something is coming if you decide to do it this way. If not, what I would do is I would offer clarity calls or discovery sessions to the people who participated. So that's another way around it if you don't have enough time, which my guess is that you really don't. I mean, if you want to push it, you can, but it seems like it's just not really planned out very well, so it might not work. So either one-on-one coaching or some kind of discovery session or some kind of assessment you can offer at the end. If you want to do the group coaching, I would do it very low, so less than $500. Short period of time, maybe 30 days, 60 days, no, 30, about 4 to 6 weeks at the most, and then you can go ahead and offer that to them. If you haven't done group coaching before, like I said, just price it lower, you know, kind of look at it as a quote-unquote beta, even though I don't like that word, but you want to get your feet wet, so this is a great way to do it. And your second question was, or no, your first question was, is it good to do an offer at the end of the challenge? Yes. The answer is yes, as long as you have the strategy in place and you know what you're doing. If it's rushed and you're not really sure what you're doing, probably not a good idea. Question two was, do you run your group coaching the same way you run your one-on-one? No. And I kind of just answered this question before to the person who asked me about running or structuring the 90-day program. So one-on-one is very customizable. My clients come to me, and we are tackling whatever their problem is right now. I'm not following a script. I'm not following a curriculum that says, well, we're talking about lead magnets today, or we're talking about launching today. It doesn't work that way. We do cover all the topics, but it's not structured the same way a group coaching is. Group coaching would be structured more like a curriculum where week one we're doing this, week two we're doing that, week three we're doing that. So I hope that answers all your questions. If you have more, just type that in the box. All right, I'm just going to do a little refresh and see. I think I have a couple more questions here. And then I'm going to jump to the lines. I have somebody with their hand up. All right, so next question is from Allie. Allie says her question is about planning. When we have multiple level price points for products and services, how should we be planning the launch? The biggest stuff first, the drip feed smaller offerings down the road. When you have a smaller list, should we be advertising the lower price point products to get people interested? That's an interesting question. I don't think it matters what the price point is as far as when you should launch things. I think what you need to do is find out what your audience's most pressing need is right now. So what do they need right now? And that's what you want to offer them, and kind of have all of your offers taking them on a journey. So yes, if you have something small and you want to get people in to just get a feel for your coaching, you could start with a smaller maybe group program like I was talking about with the challenge where it's, $497 and they're in a challenge for 4 to 6 weeks, or they're in a group for 4 to 6 weeks, and then you can upsell them to your larger program or your one-on-one. But as far as, the price points versus when you should launch, I don't really think that matters. Like I said, just think about what is their most pressing need. What do they need solved right now? And that's what you want to offer them. Oh, Sharique says one-on-one and then eventually a group. I think I answered your question. So I'm going to jump to the lines real quick, and then I'm going to go to the rest of the questions. So I have a cell phone in Washington, D.C. Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, wonderful. Hi, I'm Bianca. Thank you so much for taking the call, Jen.
Oh, you're welcome.
So my question is, I have a 90-day program, 90-day one-on-one program. It's called Launch Your Biz in 90 Days. And I plan on doing my first webinar, and I'm just wondering if the webinar that I've created to offer is a good link to try to promote that particular program.
What's the webinar?
The webinar is called Crush Procrastination and Build a Profitable Business. So basically what I'm going to do is teach them about all of the strategies that they can use to stop procrastinating, and then I also go into some of the reasons why people procrastinate. And the reason why I came up with this particular topic was because as I was speaking to people on discovery calls and other strategy sessions, consistency and procrastination kept on coming up as their block to moving forward with their business. I just kind of wanted to get some, maybe confirmation or even just, maybe this isn't the right approach, the right webinar.
Say the title again.
Oh, it's called Crush Procrastination and Build a Profitable Business in 2015.
Crush Procrastination. That's kind of a tongue twister. Crush Procrastination and Build a Profitable Business?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm writing this down because I'm trying to see how we can make it better. And what is the name of your program that you're launching? Or it's 90 Days to Launch Your Biz?
Yeah,
Okay. So what I'm thinking is I would be a little more concrete in the webinar. Like instead of saying crush procrastination, because whatever, like we all procrastinate, right? Like that doesn't really pull me in. However, if you said something like the 5 must-haves to building a profitable business.
Okay.
From scratch or something like that. You know, because are they new people? Are they new coaches or
new service entrepreneurs.
Okay, yeah. So I think something like that, to me, I would want to know what those 5 things are. And one of those 5 things could be crush procrastination. Do you know what
got
I mean?
It.
So,
okay, got it.
Yeah, I would do it more like that. 5 must-haves to build a profitable business from scratch or something like that. Because that leads more into, okay, well, I'm just starting a business. Now what? So you're going to give them the 5 tools or however many you have. And then at the end, you're going to pitch something that's in line with that. You know, now I can show you or I can hold your hand while you launch your biz over the next 90 days. This is what I have to offer. That I feel like is more in line with procrastination.
Great. No, that's perfect. Thank you. No, that helps a lot.
All right, cool. Yeah, it's always, and just for anybody that's listening, you too, is, you know, when you're giving them more of like, you're going to learn this, like, or 5 steps to this, or, you know, 7 big mistakes, like, those are more captivating than just telling people, I'm going to tell you what to do or tell you what to stop doing. You know what I mean? So just think about that when you're coming up with titles, even if you're coming up with titles for blog posts and challenges, things like that. You want to just be, like, really concrete so people know what they're getting.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. All right, I am jumping back to the Q&A, and anybody else that has a question, star 2, will raise your hand. All right. Ooh, somebody just asked me a question that I really want to answer, but I don't even know who it is, but I'm going to leave it for last. all right, so another one, I'm not sure who this is. How to create opt-ins and offerings for audiences that are not coaches. How do I craft my post to speak to that audience? Coaches seem to use client attraction a lot, but if I talk about client attraction, I aim to talk to those who are not coaches. Whoever wrote that, tell me who your audience is. That will help me figure out how you need to talk to them. So if you can just type that in, whoever asked that question, who is your audience if your audience is not coaches? All right. I have a question from Marla who says she's loving the Little Black Business book. Awesome. I want to move from prospecting to marketing in my M business and no idea how. My Facebook ads haven't worked so far. Any tips? Well, I'd like to see what the ad is or what you're putting in the ad, and I also need to know a little bit more about your business. So those of you that are asking questions in the Q&A, if you can give me as much information as possible, it's a little hard to answer the question if I don't have all of the stuff to answer the question. I'd like to know what you're doing, what you're marketing, what you're offering on the Facebook ad. If your Facebook ad isn't going to something free, that is probably why it's not working. A lot of times people think that they can have a Facebook ad that goes to a paid program, even if it's kind of a lower cost program. And typically that doesn't work because people don't know who you are. They don't trust you. So they're not just going to buy something from you. So anything that you have where it's a Facebook ad, you want to make sure that it's going to a freebie, whether it's a webinar, a challenge, an opt-in, an audio series, interview series, something like that. So I'll wait to see if you reply back in reference to just a little bit more information for me. All right. Okay, Sarah says her audience is creative entrepreneurs. Okay, perfect. Yeah, so, I mean, let me go back to your original question. Where is it? All right, so how to create opt-ins and offerings for audiences that are not coaches. How do I craft my post to speak to that audience? So the first thing I would do, if you haven't done it, is survey your audience. survey those creative entrepreneurs, find out what they want, find out what they're looking for, find out what their biggest problems are, and then you create something around that. I don't think coaches use client attraction. I'm not really sure some people do, but not all. You wouldn't talk about client attraction. You would talk about what is their biggest struggle. Is their struggle getting paid for their work? Is their struggle mindset? Is their struggle, getting paying clients? So think about what their biggest struggle is, or don't just think about it, ask them. So go into, if you have certain groups where your target audience is, have them do a survey. If you have a list, even if it's a small list, send out a survey and find out exactly what they're struggling with. And what you want to do with your opt-in and your offering really is to create whatever it is that they want. So one of the big mistakes that, pretty much everybody does is we create something, and I've done this as well. We create offerings or we create opt-ins that we think are good, or we create opt-ins and offerings that we think that our people need. And really what you want to do is you want to create stuff that they want. So what do they want right now? What problem do they need solved right now? And that's how you're going to determine what to offer them. But first you have to ask them. And that's for anybody that's on the line who has not done a survey yet to your ideal audience. You want to make sure that you do that, because you want to make sure that you're actually using their language, that you're actually creating things that they want. So that should be part of pretty much the beginning of everything that you do. Even if you're going to create a new program, have a survey around that. All right, so Lee says, I started 6 beta groups. My goal is to launch this program officially in May of 2016. I want these group members to soar. I want to make the best experience for them so they experience success, but are also comfortable giving me testimonials for the launch. Any suggestions for ways I can really benefit from the beta experience and also provide a space for them to give good, bad feedback, collect testimonials, etc. I want to make the most out of the beta experience. I know there are ways to really learn personally, but also use this stuff for the launch. Yeah, well, the purpose of the beta group is to get the testimonials and feedback. So first is going to be feedback. You want to know really what I would ask them, and I don't know how long your group is or if it's modules or whatever, but one of the things I would ask them is, what is their favorite part of the program? What is their least favorite part of the program? Which one was their favorite module? Which wasn't their favorite module? If they know that this is running as a beta group, I'm not sure if they do, but if they do, then the essence of you giving them a discount, or if you're doing this for free, is for you to get the feedback. So I would probably ask them for feedback probably every couple weeks, just so that you can tweak and test and make sure that everything that you're putting out there actually works and that they're actually getting the results. Testimonials, same thing. So obviously they're not going to be able to give you a testimonial until the end. So one of the things I would do as well is find out where they are now. If I don't know what your program is about, so it's kind of hard for me to give concrete examples, but find out where they are now, and then also document where they are by the time they're done your beta group. And I just question why you've done 6 beta groups. That seems a little extreme. I'm not sure why you just aren't going for it and launching the program. And what feedback have you gotten so far from the people that are going through it right now? And there are really great resources if you want to just Google, how to get a powerful testimonial or how to craft a great testimonial. I would Google that, too, so you know exactly the right questions to ask. But essentially what you want to do is take them on a journey from where they were before they started working with you, what happened during the time that you guys worked together, and where they are now. One of the things I love to ask my clients when I ask for testimonials are specific examples. So if you are talking about weight loss or, health and fitness, I would be concrete with numbers. How much weight did they lose? How much inches did they lose? If you're talking business, you want to talk numbers. How much money did they make? How big did their list grow? How many clients did they take on? Things like that. So you want to get those concrete numbers. That's what actually makes for a good testimonial. And not just like, Lee is great. The program was awesome. That's not a good testimonial. All right. So let's see. Oh, everybody's typing in the Q&A box. Lee says, P.S. you rock. The ACE challenge was great. Thanks for the support. Awesome. 4 or 8 weeks, 2 or 12 weeks. Yep. They know it's a beta and a trade-in. Okay. Oh, all right. You were typing to me as I was going through it. All right. Cool. So, yeah, I mean, I would milk them for the feedback. That's what they're in there for. All right. So Marla is giving me a little bit more feedback on hers. She says her biz is recommending health and wellness products, especially weight loss, healthy eating. So I'm moving product and also bringing in people to do the same, network marketing. Okay. Perfect. So what I would do is not do everything that you're taught in network marketing, and I would do it as it's your own business. So similar to how we coach, you know, you want to have an opt-in, a freebie. Like, I think you just had on here what your Facebook ad is. Let me see if I can find it. But you want to draw them in with something that is free, give them lots of valuable information, and then you want to offer them something. Okay, so I'm looking at your ad right now. OD scale showing I may have overindulged a little too much over the holidays. Lucky for me, I have a great solution. I'm starting my C9 cleanse next Monday. Would you like to join me? Free gift with every C9 purchase. Yeah, I wouldn't do it that way. I wouldn't just shove your product down people's throats. People don't like that. People don't want to be sold to. So what I would do is I create a freebie or something. Maybe if you're doing this, you know, a cleanse, maybe it's like the top 5 things you need to know before you do a cleanse or something like that. And I would offer that and then boost that, or, you know, if that's going to be your ad, that's what I would do first. Then once you get them on your list, then you can nurture that list. And then once your list trusts you and they feel comfortable with you, then you can ask them to buy. I think that's, you know, one of the problems. A lot of people just automatically jump to the sale. You know, I'm going to just offer this to you. I'm going to talk about it as much as possible. I'm going to, you know, throw it in your face and, you know, hope that you're going to buy. So instead of doing it that way, I would ask, you know, I would nurture them. I would give them information. I would give them valuable information. I would make them like you. I would make them trust you. And then they're going to want to, you know, start using the products possibly based on, you know, their trust for you and if the product works for you. So, yeah, I definitely would just start thinking about that completely different. The picture is, I don't really know. You know, I don't like it. So I would do it the way I just mentioned. All right. Let's see. Now I'm going to go to a question that somebody asked, and I don't know who it is, but they asked an awesome question. They said, hey, Jen, can you talk about setting up sales funnels? Yay, I love funnels. So, yes, I think everyone needs to have a funnel, especially if you're going to do any kind of Facebook ads, even if it's just to a webinar, even if you have people signing up for a challenge, if you have someone, you know, opting in for a PDF download or something like that, you want to have a sales funnel in place. And it's not as difficult as it seems. Essentially, what you're doing is you're putting these people on a journey. So once they download something of yours, you want to immediately start giving them tons of value. You want to give them value that can be in the way of tips, videos, different techniques that you're giving away before you ask for the sale. So many of you that are in the Little Black Business Book came to the Little Black Business Book by the way of my sales funnel. So essentially the way I have mine set up is I have a Facebook ad that runs to my opt-in. My opt-in is 26 ways to be more visible and crush it online. And this actually, guys, is in one of the modules in the Little Black Business Book. I actually have exactly how I have my sales funnel set up. So you can find that in the Little Black Business Book. And then essentially from there, you got a series of emails from me. The minimum emails that I suggest is 5. You can have your funnel go as long as you want, but minimum 5. And during those 5 emails, basically you're nurturing them. You are giving lots of valuable information. You're introducing yourself. You're introducing your product in a very easy way. So you're not, like, shoving it down their throat. Like, for me, I think on the 3rd email in the PS in my email, I mentioned the Little Black Business Book. And then I also mentioned that there's bonuses or a discount if they purchase within a certain amount of time, but I'm still giving them value as well. So you always want to lead with the value when you're doing your funnels, but you also want to take them on this journey of, hey, I'm learning from you, you're awesome, I like you, what do you have for me? Sales funnels typically aren't going to work if your audience doesn't trust you or doesn't feel, you know, comfortable with you. So just make sure that leading up to the sale or leading up to asking for the sale, you want to have that trust. And the way you do that is by giving them really valuable information. So that's it. I mean, it's pretty simple. You get them in on something free, and then you give them lots of value. You tell them about yourself. You tell them about your business. I like to throw in some testimonials in there as well. If you have any testimonials or clients that have gotten results, I would put those in the emails. And then eventually you ask for the sale. That's pretty much it. That's all it is. But they're super fun, super effective. And I wouldn't set up any ads if you don't have some sort of funnel in place, even if it's just the simple 5 email series, like I mentioned, that you can find in the Little Black Business book. So I think I'm going to be doing a masterclass on that in the next few months, so be on the lookout for that. And let me see if anybody else has questions. Anybody that's on the line, star 2, don't forget. All right, we got more. Sorry, guys, I'm just trying to weed through these questions to see which ones I've answered already. All right, so Octavia says, I'm launching a 6-week coaching program called Catapulting Your Profitability. This will be my first group coaching program. Should it be a beta program? Okay, I don't like the word beta. I think that everything we do technically is beta, especially if we're running it the first time, but I don't think that you need to call it that. I think that you can start your group program and run it at a lower cost than you would once you get the testimonials and the feedback and you tweak it and you know it works. So, for example, when I ran my first group coaching course, it was $497, and I didn't say it was beta. I believe I said this is like the intro price. So when I marketed it, I said, you know, the next time I run it, it's going to, you know, the price is going to be double. This is just an intro price, but yeah, I don't know why. Beta, I just don't like. And I feel like you're always going to be testing and tweaking. So even if you ran this 3 times, you're still going to be testing and tweaking it, you know, if you go to do it a 4th time, if this becomes your signature program, so that you can really make it awesome down the line. So, yeah, I mean, just run it. Don't call it a beta program. I don't think you have to, but you can just kind of frame it like, here's the intro price. You know, this is, you know, the intro price is the first time I'm running it, and this is what it's going to be. It's going to double next time. That works really well. All right. Don't know who this is. There's no name attached, but it says, what do you suggest if we feel like we're missing the mark on our messaging and our USP lead solution? I think you would know if you're missing the mark on your messaging because you're not going to be attracting the right people or you're not going to be attracting anybody at all. So I would definitely check in. I believe there is also a resource in the Little Black Business book that is finding your USP. What you want to think about is you want to have a strong stance on something. So usually if you feel like you're missing the mark or people aren't responding, it's because you're blending in. And where people aren't just, they're just not getting it. So you want to make sure that you think about really like what are the things that you personally are passionate about? What are your values? What do you stand for? What do you stand against? And make sure that you have a strong opinion either way. And it doesn't mean that it has to be brash or harsh or anything like that. If you just want people to find joy in their lives, like be completely committed to that and have a really strong opinion about that. So you really just want to, without knowing more, it's kind of hard to help you through this. But, yeah, I mean, just check back in with yourself and find out, you know, what's going on and is it something that's out of alignment with you? Is it just that you're not speaking your ideal client's language? and things like that. But, you know, having something that you stand for and having something that you stand against will really make you stand out and not blend in. Alrighty. Let's see. Nancy says, what's your favorite way to book discovery calls? How do you attract clients ready to pay? All right, two totally different questions. So I'll answer the first one first. Okay, for me, I would say my favorite way to book discovery calls, which I really don't do that anymore. But in the beginning, my best way to do them is I actually did use Facebook groups, and I wouldn't just offer a discovery call. I would tell people about my story. So I used a lot of storytelling in my marketing when I was in Facebook groups. So instead of giving someone just value, you know, here's five ways to book your next client. Hey, you want to book clients? You know, call me. Like, it wasn't like that. I would go more into my story. I would talk about what I went through. I would talk about my struggles, but then I would also talk about my success. And I would just literally invite people to book a discovery call with me. Those always worked best than just, hey, book a discovery call with me. At first of all, like at this point, in a Facebook group, I think people automatically shy away when it's book your discovery call with me because they automatically think they're going to be sold to. So, and technically that's what a discovery call is for. But I would just give lots and lots of value. Get people on your list as opposed to just doing it through social media. Get people on your list. Once you get those people on your list, you can offer those people a discovery call. You can actually have a discovery call be part of your quote-unquote sales funnel as soon as somebody downloads your opt-in. Another way you can do it is, like I mentioned earlier, if you're running a challenge of some sort, what you can do is at the end of the challenge, instead of offering a group program or something for sale, invite them to book a call with you. I gave you a couple different ways. So, and the next one is, how do you attract clients ready to pay? That's a great question. And I think that at some point we all struggle with this, right? We end up attracting people who either aren't willing to invest or that just don't understand or don't see the value in what we're doing. And that's our job. It's our job as the coach or our job as the business owner or our job as the entrepreneur to make what you have to offer so valuable that it's going to cost your potential client more not to buy it or not to take it. So that's how you're going to attract the people ready to pay, is when you have your ideal client or your target market and you know exactly the next thing that they need and you create a solution for that. All right, next I have Tiffany, who's from Philadelphia. Tiffany, you're not that far from me. I'm about half an hour from Philly. There are so many Facebook groups. I'm a web designer and currently working one-on-one with clients. In the future, I do plan to have a group program. Would it be a good idea to invest time in starting and maintaining a Facebook group? My other option would be to participate in other people's Facebook groups. You can do both. Totally a personal preference. I started doing other people's Facebook groups, and I didn't let myself get overwhelmed. I would choose about 3 to 4 Facebook groups that you want to be really active in and be really active in those groups. And what I mean by that is probably posting about 5 times a week in each of those groups. The reason why you wouldn't want to do more than that is because you're just going to get overwhelmed. It's the same exact people in the same group, so it's kind of a waste. So pick, 3 to 4 that you feel really, really comfortable and good in and just start contributing. That's one thing you can do. And, as right now, I don't participate so much in other people's groups because I have my own thriving group. So totally up to you if you want to start a Facebook group. Don't start a Facebook group just because you think you have to start a Facebook group. Or don't start a Facebook group just because other people have started a Facebook group. Think about your purpose, what you want to do with that Facebook group, what is the purpose of your Facebook group? If you're a web designer, are you going to be giving us tips on how to make a more profitable website? Are you going to be giving us design tips? Think about what the end goal is for your group if you decide to do one. Also know that you will have to invest time if you are the one that is hosting the group. So think about if you want to even do that before you decide to do the Facebook group. There is also a Facebook group masterclass And that's under the masterclass thing, where I talk a little bit more in depth into what you need to think about before you start a Facebook group. All right, lots of questions today. Octavia says, do you think the name Catapulting Your Profitability is a good client attraction name? I think it's a little confusing. I would want your title to be, like I was talking about earlier, more concrete. So what does that mean? What are they going to get? Does it mean they're going to double their income? Does it mean that they are going to make more money? Does it mean that they are going to, you know, think about what they're actually going to get? What's the result? Catapulting your profitability could be like a tagline, but that by itself doesn't really tell me anything. So I would think about that, maybe using that as your tagline like I suggested, but being really clear in what they're going to get. So some of the programs that I've purchased and what I've noticed is, you know, they are, you know, think about like Jeff Walker's product launch formula. You pretty much know what you're going to get there, right? It's all about product launching. I bought Lewis Howes' seven-figure webinars. All about webinars. I know exactly what I'm getting. I was also part of another one that's like six-figure, I think it was Video Impact. So it was all about videos. I knew exactly what I was going to get. So just be a little bit more clear there, and then possibly, if you like that name and you really want to use it, then use it as a tagline. All right, so anybody else? Star 2 to raise your hand or type your question in the Q&A box. We're actually just about at time. That went really, really fast today. Just going to do a refresh to make sure I don't miss anybody here. All right, guys, it doesn't look like anybody else is having a question, so I'm going to go ahead and let you guys off. Thank you for the great, great questions. They're awesome questions. If you're listening to the replay, go ahead and, you know, any questions that you have, pop them in the Facebook group. Thank you all for participating in the ACE Challenge. Thank you all for being very active in the group. It's going to be, I want it to be one of the best places to hang out on Facebook. So let's keep it going. Definitely lean on the support of the group. That's what we're here for. And definitely a lot more goodies coming in the way of content for your Little Black Business book. So that is it, guys. Thank you again for joining me tonight, and I will talk to you guys soon.